Surah Ar-Rum, ayah number 28. Daraba lakum masalam min anfusikum. He presents to you an example from yourselves. Do you have among those whom your right hands possess, meaning slaves, any partners in what we have provided for you, so that you are equal therein, and would fear them as your fear of one another within a partnership? Meaning that if you have someone working for you, would you give them everything you have or most of it, so they become the same as you, and you start fearing them as you fear others who are at the same level? Allah says, thus do we detail the verses for a people who use reason. Allah says, why would he hand over everything to us? First of all, we cannot maintain anything. SubhanAllah, human beings do not have the capability to run the world. Even if we had everything, we could never be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'auzu billah, it is impossible. Allah is unique. Lahul masalul ala. For him is the highest of examples. He is far above what they associate with him. Allah says, بَلْ اِتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. But those who wrong follow their own desires without knowledge. So this is in fact injustice. Zulm is to follow your own thought processes, your own opinions, your own wishes, and not base your choices on knowledge. What kind of knowledge though? The knowledge of guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how the world runs, where we are going, what is the purpose of our life, is there in fact hereafter? That cannot be gained from man-made knowledge or man-discovered knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also owner of that knowledge. Worldly knowledge is also gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He inspires us to create those things and discover those things that we have, that human beings have. But real knowledge, that knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special knowledge of the unseen, the wahi, Allah's direction to human beings. فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَ اللَّهُ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Then who can guide one whom Allah has sent astray? And for them, there are no helpers. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. So direct your face toward the religion, meaning your own self, inclining to the truth, adhere to the fitrah, the nature of Allah upon which He has created all people. The natural inborn inclination of man to worship his creator prior to the corruption of his nature is called fitra. The Prophet ﷺ said that every child is born on fitra, but then his parents make him Jewish or Christian, etc. And this hadith is in meaning from Bukhari. So the natural inclination of man is to worship Allah and to worship Him alone. Monotheism, that is the fitrah, that is Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, adhere to the fitrah of Allah upon which He has created all people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed us, every baby that comes out of its mother's womb, to worship Him alone. No change should there be in the creation of Allah. That is the correct religion. But most of the people do not know. Adhere to it, turning in repentance to Him, and fear Him, and establish prayer, and do not be of those who associate others with Allah, or of those who have divided their religion and become sects, every faction rejoicing in what it has, meaning they're rejoicing upon their beliefs, their opinions, their own customs, thinking they are right. And when adversity touches the people, they call upon their Lord, turning in repentance to Him. At that moment, people remember to do istighfar. Oh, we need to do istighfar. We need to give sadaqah and charity. Then when He lets them taste mercy from Him, at once a party of them associate others with their Lord, so that they will deny what we have granted them. Then enjoy yourselves, for you are going to know. We know that the kuffar would start paying tribute to the other so-called gods that they worshipped after the calamity had been removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do others do the same thing? Do believers do the same thing? Perhaps not believers, Muslims do the same thing? Yes. First, when we are suffering and we're going through hardship, we turn to Allah, we seek repentance, because our sins are what bring on calamities and difficulties. So after Allah forgives us, after we have sought forgiveness from Him, and Allah is most merciful and kind, He removes our sins and then removes the calamity. People turn back to their way of life, the previous way of life, after the calamity has been removed. They start committing sins again. They start disobeying Allah again. During a calamity, you will see that people have laid out the masalla and they're praying and they have tasbih in their hand and they're reading Quran. You know, in hospitals, we see that people have it out all the time, relatives and so on and so forth. And that's good, alhamdulillah. It's a good time to remember Allah because we rely upon Allah all the time. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases them from that difficulty, their relative becomes healthy again, the business is back on its feet, people forget Allah then. And they start disobeying Allah as they had done before the calamity. This is shirk too. Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means you're obeying shaitan, or you're obeying your own hawa, your own desires. And note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often talks about that. He points out people who follow their own desires, and they do not base their judgments, their actions, upon real knowledge. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah says in the next ayah, they start committing shirk, لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ, so that they will deny what we have granted them. They will deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done anything for them. They forget it. Allah says, then enjoy yourselves, for you are going to know. Or have we sent down to them an authority, meaning a proof or scripture, and it speaks of what they were associating with Him? And when we let the people taste mercy, they rejoice therein. But if evil afflicts them for what their hands have put forth, immediately they despair. Now this is the opposite example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people who have a good life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to them. But suddenly, because of some sins that they have committed, calamity befalls them, because that is a natural result of continuous sins without repentance. Allah says they immediately despair. They lose hope, they complain, they are depressed, they feel lethargic, and all the energy is sucked out of them, and they become very despondent. When a true believer faces suffering because Allah is testing him or her, the believer remains steadfast. And the believer is content and understands that this is a test from God. He continues to use the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided him to help him to bring him out of the situation. And he continues to pray as he had prayed before, continues to remember Allah as he had before, continues to give sadaqah, charity, as he has before, and perhaps more. Because he is also afraid that maybe I have committed a sin and Allah is upset with me. During this whole process, the believer is coming closer and closer to Allah. But the disbeliever or the hypocrite is going further and further away from Allah. Do they not see that Allah extends provision for whom He wills and restricts it? Allah says in the next ayah. Indeed, in that are signs for people who believe. People who believe, who have iman and faith, they don't get stumped. They don't get thrown off course. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path all the time, 5 times a day. Well, if we simply jump off the bridge, we jump off the freeway or the highway, then it is our fault. What if there is an accident on the way? We're driving on the freeway and you see an accident. Some of the lanes are blocked off. What are you going to do? Are you not going to go to work? Are you not going to go to school? Are you not going to go run your errands? What are you going to do? You will wait there, sit there patiently until the police comes, the tow trucks come, everything is resolved, and finally they move away. And sometimes you might have 1 or 2 lanes open, so traffic is going at a very slow pace. What are we going to do at that moment? Scream, shout, bang our heads on the steering wheel? A believer would be productive. A believer would use that time to do more tasbih of Allah, perhaps answer some messages, make some phone calls from the car, answer some emails, do some nafil prayer if you're stuck in traffic. You would be productive because we can't do anything other than wait. This is how calamities are. When these obstacles come in our way, perhaps the whole entire road is going to be blocked. Well, you just have to stay there. Or if you have room, you can turn around, go back and start all over again. Take a different route. Allah closes one door, then He will open another one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people need to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extend provision for you. Most of these calamities are either in your property or in your own self, in families or health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us secure. Ameen. Allah expands it and He restricts it. So if you're facing any difficulties, only Allah can open that door. Allah says, so concentrate on this in the next ayah. So give the relative his right, as well as the needy and the traveler. That is best for those who desire the countenance of Allah, and it is they who will be successful. So give to your siblings, give to your cousins, aunts, uncles, parents. Allah says, they have a right. Look, Allah says, فَآتِي ذَا الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ حَقْ. The relative has a haq on our wealth. Give it to them. If you want calamities not to come your way, Allah says, give your relatives. Give charity, sadaqah, gifts to your relatives. Look out for the needy people. Look out for the traveler, because they're all stuck. Allah says, remove other people's obstacles and difficulties, and Allah will not let obstacles and difficulties come in your way. That is best, Allah says. For those yuriduna wajhallah, you really want to do, you really desire to make Allah happy, this is what you need to do. In the next ayah, Allah says, and whatever you give for usury to increase within the wealth of people will not increase with Allah. So paying interest on loans, for example, Allah says, you are not going to increase your status with Allah through that. But what you give in zakah, desiring the countenance of Allah, turiduna wajhallahi, those are the multipliers. This ayah was the earliest ayah in reference to riba or interest, giving usury, and it was not forbidden completely at this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has started discouraging believers from giving usury, and He is comparing sadaqah to usury and saying these are opposites. The same discourse occurs at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, as we have read before. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases and deletes usury and interest, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases sadaqah and zakah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that one date can become equal to a mountain of reward, a mountain of ajr. Allahu Akbar. This is from Sahih Muslim. Allah says, Allah is the one who created you, then provided for you, then will cause you to die, and then will give you life. Are there any of your so-called partners who does anything of that? Exalted is He and high above what they associate with Him. Zahra al-fasadu fil barri wal-bahri bima kasabat aydin nasi. Corruption has appeared throughout the land and sea by reason of what the hands of people have earned. So He, Allah, may let them taste a part of the consequence of what they have done, that perhaps they will return, meaning refrain. Shirk, polytheism, crossing the limits of Allah, injustice, oppression, all of these are elements of corruption on earth. And when they increase, the calamities also increase. Troubles, difficulties increase. This is a natural reaction because this is a law of Allah. And this is a way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let human beings taste a part. Note He says a part of what they have done. A part of the consequence comes out in this world. We see it in this world. We have to suffer it through in this dunya. But if it's only a part, then what is the azab of akhirah? May Allah save us from that. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, travel through the land and observe how was the end of those before. Most of them were associators of others with Allah. Allah says, look at what happened to them. So direct your face. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ الْقَيِّمِ. So direct your face toward the correct religion, the established religion, before a day comes from Allah of which there is no repelling. That day they will be divided. How? Those who are destined for paradise and those who are destined for hell. Divide into two major groups. May Allah keep us amongst those who earn Jannah. Ameen. Whoever disbelieves upon him is the consequence of his disbelief. And whoever does righteousness, they are for themselves preparing that he may reward those who have believed and done righteous deeds out of his bounty. Indeed, he does not like the disbelievers. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. And of his signs is that he sends the winds as bringers of good news, and to let you taste his mercy, meaning rain. And so the ships may sail at his command, and so you may seek of his bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. What would happen if wind suddenly stopped? Everything in the world would stop. Allahu Akbar. And we have already sent messengers before you to their peoples, and they came to them with clear evidences. Then we took retribution from those who committed crimes, and incumbent upon us was support of the believers. Allah has obligated himself to help believers. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. It is Allah who sends the winds, and they stir the clouds and spread them in the sky, however he wills. And he makes them fragments, so you see the rain emerge from within them. How beautiful, how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this beautiful scene. Imagine what the Arabic would sound like. Alhamdulillah. May Allah give us the opportunity to understand the Quran in its original language. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah continues, and when he, Allah, causes it, meaning the rain, to fall upon whom he wills of his servants, immediately they rejoice. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that rain is one of the times when du'as are answered. In fact, when it would rain, he would go outside. He would take some of the water falling from the sky and then rub it on his body or his head. Because he said, this has come from your Rabb, clothes from your Rabb. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful connection between God and man. So Allah says, people, wait and wait, and the rain hasn't come, and the land is barren and dry. And suddenly Allah sends clouds, he opens them up, and through the clouds the rain starts falling, and people are happy and rejoicing. Allah says in the next ayah, although they were, before it was sent down upon them, before that, in despair. So observe the effects of the mercy of Allah, how he gives life to the earth after its lifelessness. Indeed, that same one will give life to the dead, and he is over all things competent. Lush greenery emerges. When does it happen? When people think that it is not going to ever rain again. Alhamdulillah. When will Allah give life? When someone is dead and people have lost hope of them coming back to life. That is when Allah will give them life on the day of resurrection. So Allah can remove difficulties and sorrows, but we have to wait and never lose hope. Allah says, but if we should send a bad wind and they saw their crops turned yellow, they would remain thereafter disbelievers. They would deny and be ungrateful for the previous favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to check ourselves. Our state, whether it is good or bad, what is our attitude? Do we change our relationship with Allah depending on circumstances? That is not faith. That is not iman. Allah says, so indeed you will not make the dead hear, nor will you make the deaf hear the call when they turn their backs, retreating. And you cannot guide the blind away from their error. You will only make hear those who believe in our verses, so they are Muslims. Allah is the one who created you from weakness, then made after weakness strength, then made after strength weakness and white hair, life cycle of a man. He creates what he wills, and He is the knowing, the competent. When you are young and strong, know that that is temporary. When the first white hair comes, know that the end of life is near. Allah says, and the day the hour appears, the criminals will swear they had remained but an hour. It's a very short life. Thus they were deluded. But those who were given knowledge and iman and faith will say, you remained the extent of Allah's decree until the day of resurrection, and this is the day of resurrection, but you did not used to know. People will be expecting and waiting for it. Who? Those who read the Quran regularly. Nothing else in this world tells us that there is a day of resurrection. Do we see it talked about in the news? On TV? Do you hear it on the radio? Are there books written about it? Do people talk about it? Are there street signs or signs on the freeways that say, you know, behold, the day of resurrection is coming? On the calendars, does it ever say that you have now perhaps limited time left? On your birthday cards, does it say that, you know, another year has passed by, you are coming closer to your end? Nothing reminds us of the resurrection. Nothing reminds us of the hereafter except one thing, the Quran. And if we shut this book and we don't listen to it regularly, make it a regular part of our lives, then we will forget. Because man is prone to only observe and believe in what is right in front of us. We might have this idea of the hereafter, but it is not going to be immediate. And Allah says in the Quran that those who are successful have conviction in the hereafter. They don't just believe in it. Yes, we all believe in the hereafter, but it's a concept. It's just a concept. It's not a reality. It needs to be a reality. The only way for it to become reality is to continuously open and read the Quran. There is not a page of the Quran that goes by. There is not a surah, not even a ruku that goes by. But hereafter is mentioned. Death is mentioned. So that we expect for it. We expect it and we wait for it. So on the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, there will be many people who will be very serene and composed because they know that, yes, this is what we were waiting for. So that day, their excuse will not benefit those who wronged, nor will they be asked to appease Allah. And we have certainly presented to the people in this Quran from every kind of example, Allah says. But, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you should bring them a sign, the disbelievers will surely say, you believers are but falsifiers. This is how Allah seals the hearts of those who do not know. So be patient, fasbir. Inna wa'adullahi haqq. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth. And let them not disquiet you who are not certain in faith. Allazina la yuqinoon. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand up for tahajjud salah, he would recite this dua. Allahumma lakal hamdu, O Allah, for you is hamd, praise. Anta qayyimus samawati wal ardi wa man fihinna. You are the one who establishes the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them. Wa lakal hamdu, and for you is praise. Laka mulkus samawati wal ardi wa man fihinna. To you belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. Alhamdu lakal hamdu, for you is hamd, praise. Anta nurus samawati wal ard, you are the nur of the heavens and the earth, you are the light of the heavens and the earth. Wa lakal hamdu, and for you is praise. Anta alhaqu, you are the truth. Wa wa'duka alhaqu, and your promise is the truth. Wa liqa'uka haqqun, and meeting you is the truth. Wa qawluka haqqun, and your speech is the truth. Wal jannatu haqqun, and jannah, paradise, is the truth. Wal naru haqqun, and the fire is the truth. Wal nabiyuna haqqun, and the prophets are the truth. Wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haqqun, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth. Wa sa'atu haqqun, The hour is the truth. Allahumma laka aslamtu. O Allah, I submit to you. Wa bika amantu. And I believe in you. Wa alayka tawakkaltu. And I trust you. Wa ilayka anabtu. And I return to you. I repent to you. Wa bika khasamtu. And I fight for you. I argue on your behalf. Wa ilayka hakamtu. And I take you as a judge. فَاغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ. Please forgive me my previous and future sins. وَمَا أَصْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ. And what I hide and what I declare. أَنْتَ الْمُقَدِّمُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُؤَخِّرُ. You advance some and you hold others back. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. There is no one worthy of worship except you. You can find this dua in Sahih Bukhari, Book of Prayer at Night, Tahajjud. Surat Luqman. Luqman the wise, whose learning and wisdom was known among the Kuffar, the pre-Islamic Arabs, he was said to have been an Abyssinian or Nubian slave who lived in the area of Madian, and he knew Arabic. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim. These are verses of the wise book as guidance and mercy for the doers of good who establish prayer and give zakah, and they of the hereafter are certain in faith, they have conviction. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ يَقِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Those are on right guidance from their Lord. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is those who are the successful. These set of ayat are repeated in the Quran. First we came across them in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the same concept is repeated throughout the Quran, which means that these particular set of attributes of a believer are necessary for him or her to succeed. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. So people who are muhsineen, who strive to do really excellent works beyond what is the minimum required. They establish their salah. We've talked about how to establish salah. They give zakah, yu'tuna zakata, and then wahum bil akhirati hum yuqinun. All of their choices, their decisions center around this concept that one day I'm going to have to open up my eyes and I will be questioned and I will have to give an account. One day, nothing will matter. My skin color will not matter. My race will not matter. My lineage will not matter. My money will not matter. The dialect of my tongue, my language, is not going to matter. Nothing will matter except the good or evil that I have done. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Ameen. Wa minan nasi man yashtari lahwa al-hadithi. لِيُدِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And of the people is he. Now this is a different kind of person. In the first five ayat, Allah describes the successful ones. And now he is going to talk about those who are unsuccessful. And of the people is he who buys the amusement of speech. لَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ. Why? To mislead others from the way of Allah without knowledge. And who takes it, meaning Allah's way and the Quran, na'uzu billah, in ridicule, those will have a humiliating punishment. And when our verses are recited to him, he turns away arrogantly, as if he had not heard them, as if there was in his ears deafness. So give him the good news of a painful punishment. The Quran bothers this man, threatens him. He is bored and fed up of all of this religiosity that he sees around him. So he goes out and decides to create some diversion to distract people from the seriousness of purpose that they have suddenly discovered through the Quran. So what does he do? Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ. He goes and buys amusement of speech. This ayah was revealed because of a particular event relating to a mushrik called Nadr bin Haris. He was one of the top businessmen from among the mushrikeen of Makkah, and he used to travel to different countries in connection with his business. Once he bought and brought back a collection of historical stories featuring Cyrus and other Persian kings from Iran. So he went to the Quraysh of Makkah and said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you stories of the people of Ad and Thamud and others. I shall tell you better stories, those of Rustam, Isfandiyar and other kings of Persia. They started listening to his stories eagerly simply because they contained no lessons to learn and it was just entertainment. So according to Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Nadir bin Haris had also brought a singing woman from a foreign country, and it was through her that he devised a plan to stop people from listening to the Quran. So if anyone wanted to go and listen to the Quran, he would have him hear this woman sing. And he used to say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes you listen to the Quran, then goes on to ask you to pray and fast, which makes life difficult for you. Come and listen to this music and enjoy the fun. Subhanallah. So the term lahwal hadith in this ayah number 6 literally means distracting amusement of things. According to the view of the majority of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, their students, and commentators in general, the expression lahwal hadith applies to everything that makes one fall into a state of heedlessness as to the remembrance and worship of Allah. What is included in here is music accompanied by instruments and obscene or absurd fictional narratives as well. Imam Bukhari radiallahu anhu in his book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad has said, Lawal Hadith means playing music and things similar to it. The first thing that we need to keep in mind is that whenever Quran has mentioned lahav and laib, and we have studied those words before, it's in the context of disparagement and degradation, the lowest degree of which is repugnance or karaha. It's reprehensible. I remember Ibadur Rahman walk by a lahav with dignity. They don't get involved in it. For relaxation, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged playing with the bow and arrow, training the horse, swimming, spending time with the spouse, all of these things. Aisha radiallahu anha was once allowed to watch by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the dance of Ethiopian men who were visiting Medina. It was a traditional dance that they were doing, and she watched this dance standing behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her face above his shoulder. According to Abu Malik al-Ashari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There will be groups of people from my ummah who will seek to declare fornication, adultery, silk, wine, and musical instruments to be lawful." Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani has found this hadith to be sahih from 9 different chains. This means that these things are obviously haram and people have made them halal. There's another hadith which states, when the Prophet ﷺ said, when spoils are taken as personal property and trust property as spoils and zakah as penalty, and religious learning is acquired for worldly objectives, and when man starts obeying his wife and disobeying his mother, and keeps his friend near and his father far, and when voices rise in mosques, and the chief of a tribe becomes its worst sinner, and when the chief of a people becomes their lowest of the low, and when wicked people are respected out of fear for them, and when singing girls and musical instruments appear all over, and when wines of all sorts are consumed, and when the later of this ummah start cursing the former, then, at that time, you wait for red storm, and earthquake, and the sinking of the earth, and the metamorphosis of figures and faces, and missiles, and the signs of doomsday following each other, one after the other, like a broken necklace with its beads scattered simultaneously. Reported by Tirmizi. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called musical instruments the instruments of shaitan. When did this occur? Aisha radiallahu anha says, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to me while I had 2 Ansari girls who were singing the stories of Ansar about the Battle of Bu'ath. And they were not singers. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, musical instruments of shaitan in the house of Allah's Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was the day of Eid. So Allah's Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Bakr, there is an Eid for every people, and this is our Eid. This is from Sahih Bukhari, the book of the two Eids. So the Prophet ﷺ gave permission to young girls just sitting around and singing on the day of Eid. Permission was also given, in fact it was acceptable in Medina, to sing at weddings. But make no mistake, it was nothing like the celebrations of today. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us, Ameen. The mixing of men and women is forbidden, the free mixing of men and women, let alone men and women dancing together, subhanallah, women dancing in front of men, subhanallah. We have studied repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us against fahashi, against immorality, vulgarity. Allah has forbidden fahashi, immorality and vulgarity, whether it is internal or external. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it and our generations till the end of time. Nowadays or in the days past, this has always been a challenge. The Quran is the only thing that reminds us continuously to keep cleansing ourselves from the inside as well as from the outside. Ameen. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. The biggest problem with singing and musical instruments is that it distracts us from the remembrance of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu strongly believed that music and musical instruments gives rise to hypocrisy. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah then says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds, for them are the gardens of pleasure, wherein they abide eternally. It is a promise of Allah which is truth, and He is the exalted in might, the wise. He created the heavens without pillars that you see, and has cast into the earth firmly set mountains, lest it should shift with you, and disperse therein from every creature. And we sent down rain from the sky, and made grow therein plants of every noble kind. This is the creation of Allah. So show me what those other than Him have created. Rather, the wrongdoers are in clear error. And we had certainly given Luqman wisdom and said, be grateful to Allah. This was wisdom, hikmah, anishkur lillah. And whoever is grateful for the benefit of himself, Allah says. And whoever denies his favor, then indeed Allah is free of need and praiseworthy. Allah is praiseworthy and He does not need anybody to thank Him. And mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Luqman said to his son while he was instructing him, O my son, do not associate anything with Allah. Indeed, association with Him is a great injustice. Inna shirka la zulmun azim, the greatest of sins. The only thing that Allah will never forgive if a person dies while committing shirk. And then Luqman advises his son that Allah has said, and we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَوَسَّيْنَا وَسَّى is to make a serious injunction, to obligate something. It is the obligation of children to take care of their parents when they grow old. Allah says his mother carried him, increasing her in weakness upon weakness, and his weaning is in 2 years. Be grateful to me and to your parents, and to me is the final destination, Allah says. Allah places parents right after Him. And Allah orders us to be grateful to our parents. How do we show gratitude to our parents? By taking care of them when they become weak. When we are strong and they become weak, it is an obligation upon us to take care of our parents. Allah says, but if they endeavor to make you associate with me, that of which you have no knowledge, meaning obviously there's no evidence for it, Allah says, do not obey them, but accompany them in this world with appropriate kindness, and follow the way of those who turn back to me in repentance. So yes, continue to take care of them, treat them well, but do not obey me in this shirk. Allah says, instead, follow someone else. Do not obey your parents, but then you need to follow somebody else. So follow the one who turns back to Allah. Allah says, then to me will be your return, and I will inform you about what you used to do. No one is above Allah, not even parents. And Luqman said, O my son, indeed if it, meaning the wrong that a person does, should be the weight of a mustard seed and should be within a rock or anywhere in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring it forth. Indeed, Allah is subtle and acquainted. O my son, establish prayer, enjoin what is right, forbid what is wrong, and be patient over what befalls you. Indeed, all that is of the matters requiring determination. Meaning, why? For the reason that they are enjoined by Allah, and it requires a lot of steadfastness, a lot of focus and determination. To do what? Number one, to protect and establish your salah. When something is established, you cannot knock it down. Remember. So we have to establish our salah. That means in a way that it cannot be knocked down by anything. And then two, enjoin what is right. You have to encourage and teach people what is good, what is right. You have to forbid what is wrong, because otherwise you will end up hurting yourself. And Allah stops listening to the prayers of those who do not forbid what is wrong. We seek refuge in Allah from being of those. Ameen. And then all of that requires a tremendous amount of patience. So he commanded his son to be patient, especially at things that befall him, sudden calamities. And then he said, tells him, and do not turn your cheek in contempt toward people, and do not walk through the earth exultantly. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone self-deluded and boastful. Turn your face toward people. Make eye contact. Be attentive. Do not glance away from them when they are speaking to you. Make people feel good about themselves. Everyone who met the Prophet ﷺ, each one of them thought that they were the most beloved to Rasulullah ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ did not pretend, but he, obviously we know that, but he made them feel beloved. He gave them attention. He made them feel good about themselves. And he showed them, each one of them, that each one of the Sahaba was valuable to him. And then he forbids his son from walking through the earth exultantly. In Surah Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the servants of the Most Merciful walk upon earth very softly. Allah does not like boastful and arrogant people who have an arrogant stride. Then he says, and be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. Indeed, the most disagreeable of sounds is the voice of donkeys. Be subdued. Don't run wildly here and there. Be dignified. And do not speak in a loud, braying voice. Sometimes people laugh so loudly that everybody in the room turns around and looks at them. Allah compares it to the sound of donkeys. Subhanallah. To summarize, Luqman said to his son, the first important thing is never commit shirk. Take care of your parents, but do not listen to them if they pressurize you into disobeying Allah. And then know, always be aware, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the smallest deed come to light. We cannot hide the smallest sin from Allah. And then he enjoins him to protect his salah, to make sure, enjoin what is right, because that in and of itself is also self-protection. Forbid what is wrong. Be patient over any calamities that fall during the way. Do not be arrogant. Do not mistreat people. And then walk and speak in a dignified manner. This is the best advice that a person can get.